The Gemara in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tes derives from Sukkim that there is a requirement for Tosefes Shabbos v'Yontov. You have to be Mosef Mechoyla l'Kodesh. The Rambam paskens against the Gemara. The Rambam only quotes the din of Tosefes by Yom Kippurim. But in Shulchan Aruch they quote that the Yesh Omrim, that the Baalei HaTosfos are of the opinion that the din applies to every Shabbos v'Yontov. The Pashta says it applies to Rosh Hashanah as well. That one should be Moisim Mechoyla LaKodesh. Some Acharenim came up with an idea that since Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, so it's not a spot idea to be Moisim Mechoyla LaKodesh, to add on more din. Most Acharenim do not agree with that idea. They feel that the Yom HaDin is only in the daytime. The nighttime of Rosh Hashanah is not yet the din. It's the Yom HaDin. But the din doesn't begin till the morning. So it's more correct is that one should be Moisim Mechoyla LaKodesh. Tosefes Yontif. The Sefer Shabbos, the Sefer Yontif, the Tosfos and Beitza, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, points out that from the Gemara it would appear that there is a minimum amount, not just Mashahu, whatever you want to add on. What is the minimum amount? The Tosfos says they don't know, but from the Gemara it would appear that there is a minimum amount of time. And the Acharonim quote that the Rabbeinu Peretz on that Daf, now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz printed from the manuscript. The Acharonim in the days of the Acharonim was still in Ksav Yad, so they quote it. Rabbeinu Peretz says that he thinks that it's a half an hour. That one should be Moisim Mechoyla LaKodesh a half an hour. That whenever there's a halach of samach, samach al-mincha gedola, samach al-mincha gdana, whenever there's a din of samach, the samach is always a half an hour before. That means a half an hour before Bein Hashmashes begins. Bein Hashmashes is already Safi Yom Safi Klaimah. And according to the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya, Bein Hashmashes begins at Shkia. So it's always recommended. Every Shabbos, every Yontif, it's always recommended. What should daven mincha early in order to be able to be moisim mechoyla l'kodesh a half an hour before the shkia? If you're going to be mekabel Yontif early, mekabel Shabbos early, a half an hour before the shkia, then you're going to daven mincha within a half hour. So the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, at least Ashkenazim follow that psak, that after you mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, you're not permitted to daven tefilas chol. So that's why many are makbid davke to have an early minyan for mincha and erev Shabbos erev Yontif, that they should be able to be most of mechol ala kodesh the half hour before the shkia. Ram Soloveitchik said that where he came from in Europe, they used to bench licht every erev Shabbos every erev Yontif 30 minutes before the shkia, Tosefes Shabbos, and then erev Yom Kippur they used to bench licht 60 minutes before the shkia. So when he asked as a child, why 60 minutes, the answer was given, half an hour for Tosefes for Melacha and half an hour for Tosefes of the Chamisha Inuyim. And he didn't understand what that means. What do you mean, separate Kedusha Sayyam for Melacha and separate Kedusha Sayyam for Inuyim? It's one Kedusha Sayyam, that's Mechayev and everything. But he says, where he came from, that was the practice. There used to be Moshe Mechayel Ala Kodesh and Erev Yom Kippur, a whole hour, 60 minutes. And Rosh Hashanah, just like every other Yontif, there is the Heter Oichal Nefesh. But as Tosis points out, on Dav Gimel, Omer Aleph and Beitza, that Oichal Nefesh doesn't permit us to do anything and everything that's for the sake of Oichal Nefesh. They prove in the Gemara that to squeeze out the juice on Yontif is an Iser. The Gemara says the Chachamim prohibited. You have Mishnayos like that in Pesach, the Chacham prohibited. Even mashkin shezova me'aleim, even juice that got squeezed out by itself, you're not allowed to drink zeresh ha'me'yizchot. So it would appear, bepashtos from the Gemara, that if a person is soichet the juice, it sounds like it's an isa deraisa, if it's only an isa derabbanon. So what they make, gzera, you're not allowed to drink the mashkin shezova, zeresh ha'me'yizchot, and that itself is only derabbanon. Sounds like it's deraisa. Why exactly, what did they ask, sir? Why did they ask us squeezing out juice and plucking off fruits from the tree and going fishing on Yontif? These are beferish and mishnayos that you're not allowed to do these activities, even though they're mamash shoychal nefesh. You want to eat it right away. So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Why is that so? The Ramban has an explanation that explains part of the story. It doesn't explain the whole story. Ramban says that oychal nefesh only permits us to do such activities that we would normally do soon before preparing the meal, like cooking the food. So let's say Bizman HaGemara, if a person wanted to serve a chicken, so they would bring the chicken to the Shechet the same day, and he would shecht it, and then they would salt the chicken and eat it. Bizman HaZeh, nobody shechts the chicken on the same day, even if the husband is a shaychet. He doesn't shech the chicken on the same day. His wife takes out a chicken from the freezer. So as long as that, according to the Ramban, would be an isa deraisa to shecht on yontif. Whatever one would not normally do, let's say if a balabost is interested in making challah, she's interested in making cookies. So the husband is going to go harvest grain today on yontif, and they're going to grind it up to make flour today. Nah, these are activities that are done way in advance. What she's going to do today is melisha v'yelach. She's going to take the flour that's already ground up, and she's going to mix it with water and bake the cake or the cookies or the challah needed today. So that's so the Ramban says that roughly speaking, melisha v'yelach, he thinks that that's a din d'oraisa. Other Rishonim hold that melisha v'yelach is only a din d'rabbanan. That's what the Yerushalmi, Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, that you have the list of the melachos and masechus Shabbos, daf ein gimel, acharish hazareh, koitzer adosh, ma'amir, and so on. So melisha v'yelach is mutar on yontif. So the Ramban holds that idea, melisha v'yelach, it doesn't really depend on the way it's listed in the Mishnah. It means how close is it to the final product. So melisha v'yelach, according to the Ramban, is a din d'oraisa, because normally a person doesn't harvest the tvua when they're interested in making cookies today, and they don't grind it up today. Tochen on flour would be, according to the Ramban, a nisa deraisa, as opposed to tochen on spices would be hetagomer sometimes. Some people go to these ritzy restaurants, or some people, when they serve the soup at home, so they take the flavoring, and they grind it up at the table, and they throw it into the soup right away. So that's what the Mishnayos have, that if the nature of the spice is such that it's normally, it's mefik tam if you grind it in advance, and it's normally ground up right before you're about to eat it, right as you're about to put it into the bowl of soup. So then you're allowed to do that trinan yontif. And if you're going to grind up flour, according to the Ramban, that's normally done in advance. That's not normally done right before you're interested in making a cake. Ramban says that would constitute a nisa deraisa. The Ran doesn't understand the Ramban. He says he doesn't understand what he's talking about. How can it be that trinan sometimes mutter, sometimes a nisa deraisa? So the Ran thinks that the whole idea that Yerushalmi developed about melisha v'yelach is only with the Ramban. But according to the Ramban, he explains it. It's only what's normally done derech hasuda. In addition to the Ederach al Nefesh, that's a Pasuk and Chumash, we have the Machlekes Bisham and Bisil, and we pass on like Bisil, that Mitoch is also Mutter. Any given Malach Mitoch Shuch with a Tzarach al Nefesh, which are not Mishalot Tzarach al Nefesh, provided that there is a Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. So let's say a person wants to carry a Shofar in order to blow Shofar and Shul. So Bisil will say it's permissible. According to Bisham, you're not allowed to carry the Shofar, not allowed to carry a Lulav. Not allowed to carry a Sefer Torah, not allowed to carry a Machzor to Shul, a Talis to Shul. And we pass on like Bishilo that whatever is Torah HaYom Ktsas is permissible. The question is, what's the source of this idea? What's the Mokar? So the different opinions in the Rishonim and the Shitim Kubetzes in the beginning of Ksubis. Ksubis Mar has a whole discussion about a man who just got married, Erev Yontif. He wants to do Bir Rishayna on Yontif. So the Gemara there talks about Mitoch. It's not Ochal Nefesh, but Tzorach HaYom Ktsas. So the Ravid is quoted by the Shit Mekubetzis as saying that the source and Chumash for the institution of Mitoch, not only is Ochal Nefesh Mutter, you're allowed to violate the Melocha, the Tzorach HaYom Ktsas, is from the word Lochem. Achashiachal Ochal Nefesh, Hu Levadi Osa Lochem. Lochem is Mar B'Lochol Tzorchechem. But on the other hand, since it says levado, hu levado, so you have a miut and a ribuy, so the Ravid adds this on. The Ravid has chiddush number one, that mitoch is derived from the word lochem, lochol tzorchechem. And chiddush number two, that whatever is learned out from lochem has a restriction of levado, sometimes muta, sometimes osa, so you're only allowed to carry on the yontif, you're only allowed to do it tzorcha yom ksas on yontif, if it was eef shalasas mevod yom. So let's say to carry a talis to shul, so if there's an Erev, so there's no Yisrael Haitzof, there's no Erev. So to carry a talis to shul, or to carry a siddur to shul, could have easily carried it on Erev Yantav, just like on Erev Shabbos, to carry a talis to shul. So according to the Ravid, that would be an Issa deraisa, to carry a machzor to shul on Yantav, or to carry a talis to shul, if you could have done it in Bod Yom. Shagas Aryeh has a chumrah. He refers you to the Tosfos there in the first Perek in Ksubis. The Gemara in Psachim in the first parak discusses a situation: a person was beit a chametz before Pesach, and then he comes middle of Pesach. He finds hamotzi chametz betoch Pesach, finds chametz in the house. So what should he do? So the Gemara says, koif all of a sakli, you should cover it over, make sure you shouldn't forget and eat it, and then when it comes chalamoid, he should burn the chametz. So Tosfos Rashi on the daf in Psachim, the Tosfos in the first parak in Ksubis raised the question: why don't we permit him to burn the chametz on Yontif? If we pass him like Bisil, there's a din of mitoch. So there's a mitzvah of tashbisu. He doesn't want to violate by rose a mitzvah of tashbisu. So why shouldn't it be permissible to burn the chametz on yontif? So Rashi answers that we're talking about a situation that the fellow was mevatel the chametz mevod yom. So there's no problem deraisa with leaving the chametz in the house. It's only an issue with the rabbanim. With the rabbanim, they said you shouldn't rely on bitl chametz. So Tosfos asks on Rashi. Tosfos does not agree with Rashi. Tosfos says, but still, sof kol sof, when the rabbana, there is a mitzvah to destroy the chametz. So a mitzvah when the rabbana should also be considered a tzorach hayom ktsas. So Tosfos gives a different answer. So the Shagazari thinks we should be choshish for Rashi shita. Rashi holds that you're only permitted to do a melacha deraisa on yontif if it's a tzorach hayom ktsas, if it's a tzorach mitzvah. With the mitzvah is a mitzvah deraisa. If the whole mitzvah is only a mitzvah with the rabbanon, you're not allowed to. So the Shagasai came up with a chiddush that what do you need to carry a machzef to shul for? You can't daven from a siddur. The siddur doesn't have the kel orech din b'yom din, doesn't have the piyutim, but it has the text of the Shmoneh Esrei for Rosh Hashanah. So you can daven, has the psukah de zimra, has the Shmoneh Esrei, has the brachas for the haftorah, you get a chumash, you get the kriyas haftorah, you can have everything. Without carrying a machzor to shul, you can have everything. You won't have the piyutim. So the piyutim are not only not a din deraisa, it's not even a din midirabbanan. The piyutim are just a minig. So to carry a machzor in the street, if you have rishus haram deraisa, in order to fulfill the minhagim of piyutim, so the Shagasai thinks that it's not permissible if you hold like Rashi, if you hold like Tosfos. Bottom line, it's a tzarcha yom ktsas. He wants to say the piyutim together with everybody else in the shul. But the Shagasai thinks maybe we should make miachma for Rashi. So the Achrenim say that since the attitude in Europe usually was Ein lanu rishus haram deraisa bizman hazeh, they all assume we only have a karmelis because you don't have shishim ribo, so it's only a karmelis. So nishgefelo, so you're carrying the machzer in order to fulfill the minig of reciting piyutim and minhagim are binding midirabbanan mitam neder. That's how the Gemara says in the Dorim and Daf Tezvov, the minig toiv is binding midirabbanan mitam neder. That's how they say the minig was, that everybody carried the machzor on Rosh Hashanah. They weren't choshish for the Shagazari because they assumed Ein lanu rishus haram deraisa bizman hazeh. Yeah, for those who say that we do have rishus haram deraisa, so they shouldn't carry a machzor, okay? So follow the Shagazari, you shouldn't carry a machzor. Truth of the matter is that the Ravid, we just mentioned the Ravid a minute ago, the Ravid says whatever you could have done with Bod Yom, you're not allowed to do in our Torah. On Yontif. So he thinks that you're not allowed, not only not allowed to carry a machzor, you're not allowed to carry even a talis to shul.
Did the Ravid comment on the Rambam when the Rambam says that they were matter to carry on Yontif because of Simchat Yontif? He says because Simchat Yontif, so therefore they didn't want to prevent people from being able to carry. I don't think the Ravid.
You're not allowed to carry shalom, the tzorach on Yontif. Everybody agrees to that. To carry things in your pocket that you don't need. That's L'chol HaDeis, not allowed. You're only allowed to carry on Yontif if you want to have a picnic in the park. That's the Tzorach HaOchel Nefesh, I want to eat over there. Or the Tzorach HaYom Ktsas, I want to carry Tinik Lamula, Sefer Torah Likras, by Alulav, Shofar, to be Yotze. There's the big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, women are not mechuyevim to carry a shofar. Is it permissible to carry a shofar in the street on behalf of women? On behalf of men, that's we passing like Basilah, that's Mitoch. To carry a shofar, to violate Hoitz on behalf of women, so some Rishonim hold that that's called Shalot Tzorach Klal.
Why? Carrying a machzor, if that'll add to my Simchas Yontif, that's not considered a tzorach.
People really enjoy reciting the piyutim? I don't know. Is it a Simchas Yontif? Could be. Okay.
So it's like that. It's a knas if somebody forgot to bring it before. He could have done it before. He didn't bring it before. He wants to say the piyutim. So we don't let him?
According to the Ravid, it'll be an Issa deraisa. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote the Ravid. Shulchan Aruch, this Ravid is not quoted. The Ravid came up with a chiddush that Oichal Nefesh is mutter to the one yom to be, even if it was Efshalas's mod yom. But if it's mitoch, since mitoch is derived from the word lochem, whatever's derived from lochem has a restriction of levado. Hu levado yosel lochem. So levado limits it only if it was eif shalasis mabod yom. So this ribbit is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I'm just encouraging people. They should be choshish at least for sure lechatchila. Yeah.
The question of it had to be Sorach Yantiv to do Mitoch was a machlokes Rishonim. The Rambam said even Shul Zorach, maybe not Shul Zorach now, but Shul Zorach was also mutter. And the Shulchan Aruch is machlokes Shulchan Aruch and Rama. And if you're going to be machmir the same sheet as like the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, maybe machmir about Eruv, they're the ones who are made by Mitoch. Someone who would.
There is a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What if a person does a malacha on Yontif Shalom Tzorach Klal, which is forbidden? Is that an Issa deraisa or an Issa derabbanan? But they all agreed that it's not allowed. Don't remember? To the best of my knowledge, they all agreed that it's also just the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether it's deraisa or derabbanan. This I don't know. A bris on Shabbos and a bris on Yontif is only mutter if it's a mila bismana. So Mila Shaloi Bismana is not permissible. What if you have a Sofik Mila Bismana? So the Mishnah says that a Sofik Mila Bismana is not Decha Shabbos. Would you say it's not Decha Yontav as well? So in Shulchan Aruch, the only opinion that's quoted is what all the Rishonim who talk about it. The Rishonim say that just like a Sofik Mila Shaloi Bismana is not Decha Shabbos, so too is not Decha Yontav. Rabbi Tzela Panavezhe was an original thinker, and he often disagreed with all the Rishonim. So here also, he thought that to perform a Sofik Mila Shaloi Bismana Yontif is a Tzorach HaYom Ktzas. Maybe you'll gain the Mila Bismana. So Mitam Sofik, that should be considered Tzorach HaYom Ktzas, should be Mutav. I don't think his opinion was accepted. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that not only if it's a Vadai Mila Shaloi Bismana, if it's a Sofik Mila Shaloi Bismana, it's also not Dech Yontif. For example, let's say Rosh Hashanah is going to be Thursday and Friday. So let's say a baby would be born this week, a baby boy would be born this week on Wednesday evening going into Thursday, Bein Hashmashos. So you can't perform the bris next Wednesday. What am I talking about? This Wednesday. When is Rosh Hashanah? 2 days. The baby was born last week. I'm a week behind. The baby was born last week. Bein Hashmashos in between Wednesday and Thursday. So you can't perform the bris on Wednesday, on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it's Toch Shmoina. Would you be allowed to perform the bris on Thursday? So we assume in Shulchan Aruch, no, that a Sofik Mila Shaloi Bismana is clearly not Decha Shabbos, that's a Mishnah. So we follow the Rambam and all the Rishonim who talk about it. They all say the same as the Rambam. It's not Decha Yontav Rishon. We don't follow a Bitzel Eponavesh. The Shal is, what if it's Yontav Sheni? So if it's any other Yontav Sheni, so the accepted opinion is, not everybody follows this, but the accepted opinion in the Pischei Tshuva and Yeridei is that it's mutter to perform means if the baby would have been born on Thursday night going into Friday of last week, and this week wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah, it will be Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, some other yontif. So then all the poskim assume that we would allow it mitam sveik sveika. Because half of the Rishonim hold that a Mila Shaloi Bismana may be performed on Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, other than Rosh Hashanah. And over here it's a Sofik, maybe it's a Mila Bismana. So it's one Sofik is maybe it's a Mila Bismana. It's a Mila Shaloi Bismana, maybe Mila Shaloi Bismana is Mutter and all the other, and every other Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. The Shah says, what about the second day Rosh Hashanah? Second day Rosh Hashanah, that's Beferish in the Mishnah, that if it's a Mila Shaloi Bismana, it's not the Deiche, but still, the Yontav Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is only with the Rabbanon. So maybe there's room to be Mekel. So that's a Diyun. That's a Diyun. That's a famous story that Rabbi Aaron Kotler gave a shiur about this topic, and he disagreed with the Chasam Sofer. Pischei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer. And he when he said the shiur, he said it with a little chutzpah. He said, there's a Gemara against the Chasam Sofer. So that he used to give the shiur on Shabbos all the time. But all week long, he was running around raising money for Chinuch Atzmaya for Lakewood. So he was never in Lakewood. He was always in New York. There's no money to raise in Lakewood. He had to raise all the money in New York and other cities. And on Shabbos, he couldn't raise any money. So he went back to the yeshiva and he used to give the yeshiva on Shabbos afternoon. So when he had Shalosh Shudas that Shabbos, he was cutting with the challah, so he cut his finger. slightly. He was bleeding a little bit, so he felt that it was a punishment min hashamayim that he was so chutzpedik when he delivered the shiur. But when they printed the shiur, they printed exactly the same way he said it. They have in the Mishnas Rabbarin, it says, and there's an often a Gemara against Tachsam Seifer. So I don't know why they printed it like that. Anyway, so that's a shaila. If a baby was born last week, Ben Hashmosh is in between Thursday afternoon going into Leil Thursday night, whether you'll do the bris on the second day Rosh Hashanah, that's a shaila with the Chassam Sofer with Rabbi Aaron Kotel. Okay. Yeah, what is Hoel? Hoel is another concept. Hoel is not the same as Mitoich. Mitoich is a machlokes b'sham and b'silu. And Hoel is a machlokes rabba v'rab chizde. M'sochem and afim evol. Hoel means like this. When you have a situation of Echol Nefesh, doesn't mean you have kavonis agavram cooking food on Yontif, planning to eat the food on Yontif. What if I cook food on Yontif, I beferish plan to eat the food next week? There's going to be a Sheva Brachas, a Bar Mitzvah, whatever. I'm cooking, I'm baking, I'm doing Melochas on Yontif. Theoretically, I could have eaten all the food today, but I don't have that in mind. I have in mind beferish to eat it some other time. So this is Machlekes Rabbah V'Achizda. Midirabbanah for sure it's also. You're not allowed to do malach on Yontif if you don't plan to eat the food on Yontif. Is it mutam in Atur and only asim in the Rabbanan, or is it asim in Atur? Do you need kavanas agave to be matar echol nefesh? What's the difference halacha lemaisa? So the difference is there is an institution of erev tavshilin. When Yontif falls out on erev Shabbos, they make an erev tavshilin, which is only an invention. Midirabbanah doesn't exist on the level of the Raisa. And then we're permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. How are you permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? If Erev Tavshilin only Midirabbanan, how does it allow you to violate an Issa Deraisa of cooking on Yontif for Shabbos? It's not Oichel Nefesh. See, if you say on the level of Deraisa Hoyel, Rabbah holds Hoyel. If you hold on the level of Deraisa Hoyel, Vimikle Leochem Chozile, Hashtanami Chozile, if guests would pop in today, I would be able, theoretically, to eat up all the food today on Yontif, even though my intention clearly is I'm cooking for tomorrow for Shabbos, but theoretically all the food could have been eaten up today, so that's enough to be matar on the level of the Raisa. So if the whole Issa is only Midirabbanan, so if you make an Erev Tavshilin, hey mamar v'hey mamar, it's mutar. But if you hold that there is no din of oil, so what's the heter to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? So the Gemara says, according to Rav Chisda, doesn't believe in oil. You have to say that there's a new din, that Tzorchei Shabbos Na'aseh Miyontif. Yeah. Tzorchei Shabbos Na'aseh Miyontif. How do we paskin? So that's a machlokes harishonim. Do we paskin like Rabbah? Do we paskin like Rav Chisda? The Mogen Avraham writes, he lived in the city Kalish, that's in Poland, and he writes that in his community, the minig was, it doesn't sound like he instituted it, it sounds like it was there when he came there. The minig was that whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, you mekabel Shabbos early. Earlier than Natsdam, before the Shkiv. Kabel Shabbos is a plaga mincha. Kabel Shabbos earlier. Why? In order to make sure that the women will put up the soup and the cholent and everything well in advance. Because if they had their menatoira to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, the Erev Tavshilin is only with the Rabbanah. So what's the heter menatoira? So according to Rav Chisda, it's Ocha Shabbos Na'aseh Miyontif, it's mutter. There's no problem. But according to Rabbah, it's not just mutter. It's only muta if you cook the food so early on Yontif, put it on the fire so early on Yontif, that theoretically you could have eaten this food, you and your guests could have eaten the food on Yontif. So if you put it up just 18 minutes before the Shkia, it won't be ready for Yontif. It'll be ready for Shabbos morning, the Cholent, but it won't be ready for Yontif. So then there's no heter on the level of the rice. You're cooking on Yontif, and you couldn't have theoretically eaten this food on Yontif. It's still going to be raw on Yontif. So that's when the Magen Avraham says the minig was whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, so the kehillah should be mekabel Shabbos early to make sure that all the women will bench licht early, an hour and a quarter before the Shkia, so that they'll have to put up the cholent before, put everything up before, so everything will be roy lachila on Yontif. You would have theoretically been able to eat this food before the sun sets on Yontif. This whole problem that you did in Erev Tavshilin is only if you plan to do some malochas on Yontif for Shabbos. But if you're not going to do any malochas, let's say a person is in a hotel or something, and he's not doing anything. He's not cooking any food. He's not lifting a finger. Or a boy in yeshiva, he's eating a cafeteria. He's not doing any malochas at all. So if you're going to bench licht, if you're going to light candles on Yontif for Shabbos, so that's a question. Do you need an Erev Tavshilin for the purpose of hadlokas on Eris? So Tosfos and Beitza has two opinions about that. So Taisus, we assume in Shulchan Aruch, if that's all you're going to do is light candles on Yom Tov and Shabbos, you should make an Erev Tavshin without a bracha. You only make an Erev Tavshin with a bracha if you really think that you're going to use it, if you really think you're going to cook, you're going to bake on Yom Tov and Shabbos. If you plan to carry something, you need an Erev Tavshilin, right? It says in Shulchan Aruch, it says, and not everybody agrees, but in the Shulchan Aruch, it's Gepaskin, Erev Tavshilin only helps if you're going to carry food, for Tzorchei Suda. Let's say someone is going to give a shir on Shabbos. So he wants to carry the Sefer on the second day Rosh Hashanah to the Shul or to the Beis Medrash, where he's going to give a shir, he's going to carry Chutz La'erev. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they Paskin that Erev Etchumen doesn't help for malachas that are not l'tzarach hasuda, not for the purpose of eating. If you want to carry on yontif for yontif, that you're allowed to. That's mitoich. That's like carrying a sefer to learn from the sefer. But to carry on yontif for Shabbos is mutar ben haTorah, because mitoil. But with the rabbanon it's also, and the erev tavshilin doesn't help. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch.
That's for the erev tchumen and erev chaseres. That's for
Erev Tchumen
and Erev
Chateres?
Meaning?
Erev Tchumen is a different topic. You're not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum unless you make an Erev Tchumen.
You
just
say Erev
Tchumen,
to go
Chutz L'Tchum, to carry the Sefer. No. I meant Erev Tavshilin.
No, but I'm saying what to carry without.
If there's no Erev for carrying, so you're violating Hotzor, so it's only permissible to carry on Yom Tov Shabbos if it's food, L'Tzarach HaSuda. But the Erev Tavshilin, I meant to say, the Erev Tavshilin doesn't help to carry a sefer that you're going to use on Shabbos. You don't need an Erev Tavshilin at all. Let's say if all you're going to do is make the bed, all you're going to do is set the table on Yom Tov for Shabbos, so if you're going to do a hachana, or let's say the gabbai in the shul rolls up the Sefer Torah in advance. He rolls up the Sefer Torah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos, in order to lay, because on Rosh Hashanah we're relating a different parsha. And then he only has one Sefer Torah in the shul, so he's going to roll the Sefer Torah on Yom Tov for Shabbos to be able to learn from Ha'azino. So Rabbi Kivega proves from the Mishnah that that's permissible without an Erev Tavshilin. Some Achrayim say the Erev Tavshilin doesn't even help, because the Erev Tavshilin only helps with Tzorchei Asuda, and to roll the Sefer Torah is not Tzorchei Asuda. And others say, no, if you made an Erev Tavshilin, then you can shtel the Sefer Torah. If you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, then you're not allowed to roll the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Kivega says it's wrong. It's a beferish and mishnah masech Shabbos that to do a hachana that's not a malacha, you don't even need an erev tavshilin. It's permissible to do the hachana because hachana believe malacha is only an isa derabbanan, and that they never asin on Yom Tov Shabbos. They never asin. Yeah, when you make the erev tavshilin, so we mentioned yesterday, if you make the erev tavshilin on erev Yom Tov, let's say it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah. So you can either make the Erev Tavshilin, let's say with Pesach Shavuot Sukkah. So if you make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, you say Brocha. You make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, Ala Tanai, if today is Chol, then I still have the right to make the Erev Tavshilin. And if today is Kodesh, and Friday is Chol, then I don't need an Erev Tavshilin. So any other Yom Tov other than Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says you can make such a thing, an Erev Tavshilin Ala Tanai. Rosh Hashanah is a Kedush Achaz, Yom Arichta, so you can't make such a Tanai. So on any other Yom Tov, when you make such an Erev Tavshilin Ala Tanai, you don't say a bracha. When the Erev Tavshilin is made Ala Tanai, you don't make it. If you make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, you know, it should also be, it's a suffix. So L'chari, you should make with that a bracha. So the din is, you do say a bracha. So that's a big question, why? How do you understand that? Why is it a difference? If you make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, you do say a bracha. If you make it on Thursday Ala Tanai, you don't say a bracha. So you have to, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has, you need some Hezber over here. Rav Chaim has his explanation. Some are not happy with some say that Rav Chaim's explanation came to explain a Rambam that doesn't exist. But you still need the explanation, because in Shulchan Aruch it says that on Wednesday you do say a bracha on Erev Tavshilin. You make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, you don't say the bracha. So you got to explain that. You have to come out to Rav Chaim's explanation anyway, even if the Rambam doesn't exist, but this didn't in Shulchan Aruch exist. But a Rosh Hashanah does not. You cannot make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, Ala Tanai, because there is no Miman of Shach, because it's a Kedusha Achas. What do you use for Erev Tavshilin? So the common practice is that you use Pas V'Tavshil. you use a matzah or a loaf of bread, a challah or something, and you use some michel that was cooked. The only time you need, it's a machlokes, but you really need pasul tavshil. Rabbeinu Tam says the whole thing is a mistake. He thinks all you need is tavshil. He says, Beishama hold you need pasul tavshil. He says, why should we pass like Beishama? But Taisa says, the meaning is we do pass with tavshil. So we assume in Shulchan Aruch, though, you only need pas with tavshil if you plan to bake cake or cookies on Yom Tov for Shabbos, then you need pas. If you don't plan, most women do not bake cake or cookies on Erev Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, for Shabbos Shuvah. They're not going to bake cake or cookies. Whatever they're going to bake before Rosh Hashanah. So all they're going to do maximum is put up a challen and put up a kettle of water and put up some soup. So that's tavshil. So all you need is really tavshil. By us, all you need is a tavshil. And the tavshil covers the halakas on there is also. The only time you need a pas with tavshil is if you plan both to bake for Shabbos and to cook for Shabbos. Then you need pas with tavshil. But lamaisa, most people today do not bake cakes and cookies, so they don't need the pas. Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Gemara, that... The Gemara says if you have some leftover, let's say, people were eating food before Rosh Hashanah also. So let's say you had some leftover cooked bebelach, you had some leftover soup or something in the bottom of a pot, you have a kazayas, so you can use that for Erev Tavshim. So that's only b'di'evit. And what do you need l'chatchila? What do you need more than that l'chatchila? So the Mishnah Berurah says l'chatchila, the pas and the tavshil should be baked l'shem Shabbos or possibly l'shem Erev Tavshim. He's not sure which one you need. So the mini golem usually is that you use a matzah. The matzah was baked before Pesach. Matzah was baked maybe a year ago. It wasn't baked on Erev Yontif, on Wednesday, and it wasn't baked L'Shem Erev Tavshin, it wasn't baked L'Shem Shabbos either. So probably the reason why you're not so makbid about that is because you don't really need the pas, because no one's really baking cake or cookies on Yontif or Shabbos. But the tavshil lachabidi, yeah, but if you have any tavshil in the house, you can use it for tavshil. Lachatchila, the Mishnah Berurah says you should use a tavshil that was cooked l'shem erev tavshilin, or at least l'shem Shabbos. What kind of tavshil should you use? So the Midrash Golem is everybody uses a hard-boiled egg, and a matzah. Hard-boiled egg, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayodom, was unhappy about the hard-boiled egg. The Rambam says he's supposed to use, the Gemara says in the beginning of the second Perek in Beitz, he's supposed to use some kind of a tavshil that's unique to Shabbos, the Shabbos digger tavshil. So the Chayodim says that we eat eggs all week long. People eat eggs all week long. So it's nothing unique about that. So what do we not eat all week long? We eat chicken all week long also. So what do we not eat all week long? Years ago, the Jews only ate their fleshiks on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We eat flesh eggs every day. So what do we not eat? Gefilte fish. Gefilte fish, you only need kugel. You have to have some. What are you going to have? That's miyuchat for Shabbos. That's what the Chayodim says. The Mishnah Berurah is not happy with that Chayodim. He says, you look in the Rambam. The Rambam gives you an example of what kind of a tavshil you can use. He says a hard-boiled egg. The Rambam says a hard-boiled egg. So the Chayyarim holds that that's not a kasha. In Vilna, they ate. The Chayyarim lived in Vilna. He says, in Vilna, we eat eggs all the time. The Rambam apparently didn't eat eggs all week long. Because that says in the Gemara that the Erev Tavshil should be a Michael, that's something unique, something special, Shabbos Dik. The Heta to do Malocha and Yontiv is only Hu Levad Yosa Lachem. So the Gemara says, Lachem alo lebehema. Lachem alo leklovim. The Gemara says, and Lachem alo leakum. You're not permitted to cook food for a nochri or to carry food in the street on behalf of a nochri, and you're not permitted to cook or to carry food for a behema. So that's what they write in the Shulchan Aruch, that many have a minik to go recite Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. So many people carry food. They carry leftover challah in their pocket, and then they throw the challah into the fish. So the Maharil complains that this is not proper, that first of all, you're carrying chutz le'erev, you're carrying the food on behalf of the fish, chutz le'erev, which is an iser, and secondly, there's a Gemara in Shabbos and a Maseches Beitza that one is only permitted to be matriach to feed an animal if it's mezainosim alecha, if it's my responsibility. I have a farm, or these are my fish. I have a fish tank at home, and these are my fish. It's my responsibility to feed them. But the fish in the river is it's not my responsibility. So there's an Issa de Rabbanon for some reason or another. It's a question what the Issa de Rabbanon is. Tyson says that the Issa de Rabbanon is a Gzeir Hashem Yotzud. You're not allowed to catch these fish, you're not allowed to hunt them. So they prohibited feeding the animals that are not Mizanosim Alecha because of the Gzeir Hashem Yotzud. But I'll call upon him that's a Gemara that we pass on Lachem Elo, Liakam Lachem Elo, Leklovim. You're not permitted to do a Malacha. The Gemara even has a din. You're not permitted to invite Emizan, Emizan Nochri beyond. If you're permitted to invite a Nochri on Shabbos, let's say a non-Jew is interested in converting, he wants to see what Shabbos is all about. So you're permitted to invite him to come over on Shabbos to eat a meal by you, because we don't cook for the Jews. We're not going to cook, we're not going to forget and cook for the Nochri. But you're not permitted to invite a Nochri on Yontav, because on Yontav we cook for the Israelim, so we may forget and cook for the Nochri. The Gemara just says, if a Nochri pops in, he comes to my home on Leil Yontav, I don't have to ask him to leave. I can say it's our holiday, and we're only allowed to cook for those who observe the holiday. For non-Jews who don't observe Yontav, we're not permitted to cook, so you can only eat the food that's on the table. You can't ask for seconds. Okay? But that's b'dievet. That's b'dievet if the nochri pops in. But aim is amem v'san nochri b'yontif. The Mishnah Brura, the Magen Avram has a machlek, is what if you have a Jew who's totally non-observant and he's dinuk in nochri? A madrega. A Jew who's a mum adina kakum. Years ago, there used to be a din in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, a mum l'chal Shabbos, but for Hesya, was Dina Kakam, is Manazed, the Binyan Sion, and Chazanish, and everybody in between, they all say, we don't have such a person today. Mumul Chal Shabbos Befehesi means he's doing it the Mezid, and he's breaking the discipline in the community. Everybody else is Hashem Shabbos, and this Shegetz is Machal Shabbos, and he's not embarrassed, even when he knows he's not allowed to be Machal Shabbos, he's not even embarrassed when the chief rabbi. The Gemara says, if he hides it, when the rabbi walks by, if he hides the fact that he's Machal Shabbos, then he's not called Machal Shabbos Befehesi. So the Binyan Tzion and the Chazanish, and in between, they all say that B'zman HaZeh, since so many Jews are not observant, more than 50% of the Jews are not Shem Shabbos. What are you going to say? That's called Mechal Shabbos B'Fehesia? They're breaking the discipline. The Orthodox are breaking the discipline. The non-observant Jews are not breaking the discipline. They can't really call them Mechal Shabbos B'Fehesia Dina Ka'akum. So who do you have who's Dina Ka'akum? I'm not Bikari, is Dina Ka'akum. Okay, a person doesn't believe in Ikari Ho'emunah. Okay. So the Magen Avram has a machlekes achreinim. If a Jew is such, he's reached such a madrega that he's dina ka'akum, is he included in his din lachem lo liakum that you're not allowed to cook for him, and mainly you're not allowed to invite him to your home? So the Magen Avram has the machlekes. The Mishnah Brura doesn't want anybody to know it's a machlekes. So in the text in the Mishnah Brura writes, just like you're not allowed to mizam the mizakum, you're not allowed to be mizam, you're not allowed to invite a Jew who's dina ka'akum. And in the footnote, he writes, Poshut. Elementary. Not so elementary, it's a Machlekes Achreinim in the Magen Avram. So it's not so Poshut. So sometimes people have an issue, sometimes people have a problem. On Yontif, the Mishnah has a din, even though one is permitted to do Havara, let's say you have years ago, there used to be a pilot light if you have a gas range. You have a pilot light, and when you turn the fire on, it lights from the pilot light. But to be Moeled Esh Mechadosh, to strike a match in order to light a fire, Moeled Esh Mechadosh is Asa. The Taz and Shulchan Aruch wants to say that this is an Issa Deraisa, and we don't really accept that opinion. We hold that it's an Issa Derabbanan. To be Moeled Esh Mechadosh is Asa Mederabbanan. Let's say if you have to ask a Nochri to turn on the lights on Yontav, if you forgot to turn on the lights, so that's Moeled Esh. So Moeled Esh is only the Rabbanon. So to ask a Nochri on Yontif would be Shvuz du Shvuz b'makom mitzvah. Rather than sit in the dark, you would be permitted, but b'dieved, you're permitted to ask a Nochri. The Chazanish held like that, that completing a circuit is a malacha deraisa. He just wasn't sure which malacha, b'ayinam ha'maka b'patash. But that, I don't think, has been accepted. We assume, like Rav Chaim Oizer said, turning on a light is you heat the, if it's a filament, a bulb that has a filament in it, so you're heating the metal till it glows. So the Rambam says that's havara. One place the Rambam says that it's bishul, one place the Rambam says that it's havara. But completing a circuit that now the thing functions, That's the, we assume that's the hishtamshus of the thing. We don't really accept that chazanish. So to ask a nochri to turn on the light on yantav if you really need it, so we would assume that that'd be a shvuz the shvuz b'makom mitzvah.
Someone lit a fire on yantav, if they even made it, would it be
mutter
to use that fire
to cook? Probably not, because he violated the nisa d'rabban, and you're not allowed to be nana. If a person does a malocha, you're not allowed to be nana from the malocha. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He talks about people who have an electric stove, so the heat can be on a different level. So when it's on low, so the coils will be black, and when it's hotter, then it'll be orange, and then if it'll be even hotter, then it'll be more orange than that. So if it's already orange and then you want to make it higher, so that's not moilad esh mechadosh. But if the electric stove is on, but it's the lowest level and it's the metal coils are black, and then you turn a little high, make it orange, so you can consider that moilad esh mechadosh. But let's say you want to turn down the fire. So is there an issue of mechaber? So if the electric coils are orange, and when you turn it lower, it's still orange. So there is no mechaber. If you turn it from orange to make it black, so that's going to be mechaber. So then it'll depend. What's the din taka mechaber letzarech ochel nefesh? So let's have cooking soup. So if you're cooking water for coffee or for tea, and you have a very high fire on, the water is not going to burn because the fire is so high. The water will get cooked in 3 minutes instead of 5 minutes. But if you have soup on the fire and the fire is too high, then the soup is going to burn. It's not that it's going to get cooked faster. The soup will burn. So if you have food that's going to burn because the fire is too high, so Rav Moshe Paskins, it's a discussion in Mishnah Berurah, Rav Moshe Paskins a little bit against the Mishnah Berurah, that you're allowed to turn down the fire. The mechab is muta, the tzarech ochel nefesh. The shot is if you have a toss-up, if you have a brera, you have one fire that's way too high. So you have four burners, let's say, on the stove. So you have an option, either turning down one fire to do mechabe, to turn it from orange to black. You're doing mechabe letzarech ochel nefesh, because if you put the soup on top of the fire as it stands now, the soup is going to burn. So you have an option of either doing like that or turning on a different fire, let's say, to do havara. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that you should do the havara. It's better to do havara letzarech ochel nefesh than to do kipui. And Rav Moshe disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah. He says, bottom line, we paskin that kibbutz muta letzarech ochel nefesh. So he says you can turn down the fire from the... you can do the kibbutz also letzarech ochel nefesh.
What does it make a difference if it can still be orange after you lower the flame. If
you have, let's say, gas, and you lower the flame, so you have less gas coming through, I don't know, I think that's kibbutz. Yeah. If you take oil out, the Gemara says, I'm stopping when Hashem is Shemaneh, and Yontav is Chaymish, and Shabbos is Chaymish and Mechaber. So Tosa says it's not because the fire is going to go out 5 minutes earlier. Because I took out. That's not called mechaber. It's because right now the flame is diminished. Right now it gets smaller. So Rav Moshe assumes that to turn, if you have a gas fire, to turn off the fire, to turn it lower is the same thing. If you turn it lower, so right away it changes. So just like turning off is an issue of mechaber, so turning it lower will also be an issue of mechaber. I don't know, if you have just the coil, the exact same coil, and now it's orange, and then you're going to turn it lower, it's going to be still orange. I don't think there is any mechaber.
Is it so much the past one process, and not like Rashi, that being the car of kibbutz is a mechaber?
I think we do accept the Tosfos. I think we do accept that the only reason why Mistapik Men Hashem Meshev Mener is mechaber is not because it's going to go out 10 minutes earlier, but rather because right now the flame is being diminished. I think that is the accepted opinion.
There are some lights that don't work with heating a filament. and I work in other days. So with those who have the malacha, please. If we're assuming that the problem with turning on the light is havara, that you're heating up the filament until it glows, so a light that works in a different way. Mm-hmm.
I think we assume the other lights are awesome at the Rabbana. The real Iser of Eishman HaTorah would only be if you heat the metal till it glows. The other kind, let's say you have fluorescent lights. So fluorescent, we assume, is only awesome at the Rabbana. There's no Iser there, Ice. Yeah. Havar? Havar, the Rabbana. There's Havar there, Ice, and Havar the Rabbana. The minig by many Ashkenazim is that we only duchen on Yontif. Many Sfardim do not have such a minig. They duchen every day. Okay? The Ashkenazim have a minig. They only duchen on Yontif. Some have the minig. Further minig, they only duchen on, by Musaf on Yontif. So when they kind of go to duchen, they're supposed to lift up. They're supposed to have the Nesias Kapayim. So the Mishnah says that the Kohanim and the Beis, all Kohanim and those in the Beis are supposed to raise their hands to the same level as their shoulders. A lot of times you see the Kohanim are duchening, they hold their hands like this. They don't pick up their hands to the same level that their shoulder is. So that's not proper. They're probably not even yoytze. They're probably saying a bracha levatola. The duchening requires nesias kapayim. That's why it's called nesias kapayim. It's supposed to pick up the hands. One of the dinim that's often violated is that when the Kohanim recite the bracha, so in the Chumash that describe Kosel Rochas B'nai Yisrael, Omor Lahem Kodam Ham B'dabar El Chaveiro, like a person speaking to another person, that they face each other, Panim Keneged Panim. So some people are so nervous that they don't want to look at the Kohanim in the face and the hands, so they turn their backs to the Kohanim. So the Gemara says that they're not included in the bracha. Am Shebasodos, when the Kohanim duchen in shul, and there are people that didn't show up in shul, so Am Shebasodos are included in the bracha, but the people who are in the shul, and they don't face the Kohanim, are not included in the bracha. It's supposed to be ponim keneged ponim. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to look at the hands of the Kohanim. And the Beis Hamikdash, the Shekhinah would be shore on the hands, and it was improper to look at the hands. Outside of Beis Hamikdash, the Shekhinah is not shore, but they made it in. It's not proper to look at the hands of the Kohanim. So that's why in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, they started a new meaning that the Kohanim cover over the hands. So you can't see the hands. So Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote his commentary on the side of the Rambam, the Kes Mishnah. So when he wrote the Kes Mishnah, he writes a sofek that the Mishnah Megillah has halacha that a kohen has mumin, but pon of yadav v'raglav has conspicuous mumin on his hands or his feet or his face, is not allowed to duchen, because when he walks up and he's going to duchen, everyone's going to be staring at him to look at the mum. Unless he lives in the same community for the longest time, everybody's used to him, so they know the mum already. But if he's they're not ruggalbo, so then he's not allowed to duchen. So the Kes Mishnah writes, he's not sure what about Bizman Azeh, whether that takana the rabbanon still applies or not, because the Kohanim cover over the hands, so you can't even see the hands even if you try. Obviously, so the Rabbi Yosef Karo writes the Sof again, the Kes Mishnah. Obviously, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch later, so by the time he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, it's no longer a Sofik. He paskins lehokel. The Bizmana said the Takana de Rabbana no longer applies. That's interesting. He took a Takana de Rabbana and he threw it out. Because of the changing times, usually we assume that when you have a Takana de Rabbana, even if you have a Takana de Rabbana that was clearly instituted for a certain reason, and the reason no longer applies, so that's what we usually refer to as a Dovish of a Minyan. So Dovish of a Minyan, the Takana doesn't fall away automatically. So why did Rabbi Yosef Karo think that this Takana, the Rabbana, falls away by itself? Is a good question. Is a very good question. It could be that it's based on a Tshuvas HaRosh. The Rosh first lived in Germany, and then when the Maharam Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rosh, when the Maharam Rutenberg was imprisoned, and then he passed away in prison, he kept on telling the Jewish community that Rosh was a wealthy man and there were other wealthy balabatim, so they raised money to pay the government to release him. The government said that he didn't do any crime. They just wanted to hold up the Jewish community for the money, for ransom money. So they started to raise the money, and the Maam Rutmerk said they're not allowed to give that money. It's a Mishnah in Gittin, you're not allowed to be paid as Hashem Yeser Al Kadei Demeim. And the government was asking for an exorbitant amount of money. So the Maam Rutenberg stayed in prison until he died. They used to give a shiur every day. The Talmidim came to visit him in prison. and they were very nice. He gave a shir, and on Shabbos when it was chilly, they would ask the goy shigars to please make a fire. And we were liyakim as mutter, but machm chaylu shem b'sakana. That's what we learned in out, that you're allowed a hakol chaylu meitzel atzina. If you're afraid you're going to catch a cold, so you're permitted to ask the nachri to light the fire on Shabbos, because then the guards in the prison were kind enough to make the fire for the Mamrutmerk's Talmidim when they came to visit on Shabbos. So after the Mamrutmerk passed away in prison, he left instructions that they shouldn't even redeem his body after he dies, so that they didn't listen to. So after he passed away in prison, the Rosh assumed they're probably going to put him in prison next and to hold up the Jewish community for ransom money. So he decided it's enough, so he left to Spain. So he came to Spain. Imagine Ayeke comes to Spain, and all these different minhagim, doesn't speak the language, doesn't know what's going on over there. So he had a shock of his life, and everything was different. Everything was different. He stayed by the Rashba for 10 days, and then he got a Rabbanus. And then he had to figure out what the minhagim are there. So he noticed that there in Spain, the Balabatim wore Arba Kamfis that was made from linen. And he couldn't understand how was that allowed. That's a machlekes b'shamay b'silo. And this is one of the cases where we pass on like the Bishamai. The Mishnah in Masechus Shabbos towards the end of the first parak lists off the Yud Ches Dover. Doesn't list off. The Mishnah mentions that there were 18 Gzeres de Rabbana where the Bishamai outvoted the Bishilo. And the Gemara lists off over there, the end of the first parak, all the Yud Ches Dover. And then in addition to those 18 cases, the Tosis quotes some Siddur Avamam Gon that there are an additional 6 cases where we pass on like the Bishamai against Bishilo. So one of them is this, that you're not allowed, Gzera Derabbanan, you're not allowed to put on tzitzis on a beged shel pishton, because in the days of the Tanoim, they used to put in tchelis, and the tchelis string has to be, we learned in Yevamos, tchelis string has to be tzemer, and if you tie tzemer onto a beged shel pishton, it's going to be shatnes. So if it's authentic tchelis, that's the din of esedech aloy sese. But they used to have fakers who would sell imitation tchelis, and they would charge money like it's real tchelis. So if you fell in, if you're the lucky winner, you fell in and you got the imitation trailers, so then you have shatnes and shalom and makam mitzvah. You didn't need to have the shatnes. So then you're over the yisr, and you have no heter. So that's why the Bishamim made Gzeret Rabban. You're not allowed to put any tzitzis at all on a beggar shal pishtim. So the Rosh was wondering that in Germany, no one ever had an Arba Kamfis made from linen. How come here in Spain, there were so many people wearing linen tzitzis? So he wondered, and then he came to the realization, it's not a problem. That the tchelis had already disappeared in the days of the Rosh. There was no tchelis. Nobody had tchelis. In the days of the Tanoim, the chashash made sense. But by the time the Rosh came on the scene, there was no tchelis to speak of. So the whole chashash didn't apply anymore. So that's why the Gzera de Rabbana falls apart by itself. So then the Rosh raises the question, shouldn't it be a dovish of a minyan tzof minyan achal atiroi? The Tanoim made Gzera de Rabbana because of a certain reason. Maybe wearing shatnes shalav and makam mitzvah, and the reason no longer applies b'zman hazeh because nobody puts tchelis in any begadim. But don't you have to have a bezin to repeal the gzera derabban? It doesn't just fall apart by itself. So the Rosh answers, no, it's different, and it's a little unclear what the Rosh answered, but he addresses the issue, he raises the issue. So the Mishkanes Yankiv has a tshuva in a sefer Koheles Yankiv, where he explains what the Rosh is driving at. He says, whenever the din de rabbanon called the tikkun rabbanon came the rice of tikkun. Whenever the chachamim make a din de rabbanon, so it's patterned after a din de rice. So din of the rice, we have two types. Most the ruba, the overwhelming majority of all the 630 mitzvahs in the Torah doesn't give the reason for the mitzvah. It says a mitzvah, and there certainly is a good reason. Once in a long while, there's a mitzvah where it says, do this mitzvah for this and this reason. So whenever the Torah says, do this mitzvah for this reason, kisu lachem asashir asas v'lam des b'nei yisol sim b'fiyam. Whenever the Torah gives you a mitzvah and it gives you the reason, so then the reason regulates the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. What if the Torah writes a mitzvah stoma and doesn't give the reason? And the Rabbanim get together and they decide what the reason is. They break the head and they figure out what the reason is. So do you treat that also as one of the midas shatarin adreshes bam? That whenever the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply? Or do you say no? So that's a machlokes Rab Shimon bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, Rab Shimon and Bob Mitzi and the Chacham. Rab Shimon holds darshin in time of the Krah, that the reason for the mitzvah that we figure out is considered one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Bem, and it regulates the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. And we don't accept Reb Shimon's opinion. We pass on Loi Dashi in the time of the Kro, that to try to ascertain what's the reason for what's the time of the mitzvah is a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You have to try to learn all the dinim, what are the mitzvahs HaTorah, what are all the details, and try to learn also what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah trying to teach us by giving us this mitzvah. But to say that it's one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Bem, whenever the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply, so that far we don't go. We don't accept Reb Shimon's opinion. So just like we haven't accepted Reb Shimon's opinion by mitzvahs deraisa, we say there are two types of mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs where the tam is mefurish, Torah says the mitzvah and it gives a reason. We spoke a couple of weeks ago. You have to bury a mace the same day because it's a bizayin mace, because the man is created for Tzelem Elokim, and B'nai Yisrael Abonim Lamokim, so it's a bizayin for the Tzelem Elokim. So if you leave over the mace till tomorrow because you expect more people to attend the funeral, then it's mutter, the Mishnah says. Why? Because Darshin and time of the Kor, the Torah has the reason for the mitzvah written right next to the mitzvah. But we paskin against Reb Shimon, that what if the Torah doesn't write the reason next to the mitzvah, just writes a mitzvah stoma, we figure out what the reason is. Then we say, Loi dashin in time in the Krah. So just like that's when the Mishkan, and Yankov explains this, Chuvus HaRosh. So just like on the level of the Reis, you have two types of mitzvahs, on the level of the Rabbanon also. Most of the mitzvahs, the Rabbanon, they didn't tell you the reason for the din, the Rabbanon. Once in a while, they formulated a din, and they gave the reason. So whenever, it's just like called the Tikkun Rabbanon came, the Reis Tikkun. So whenever they formulated a din, and they said, this din because of this reason, the Rabbanon, so whenever the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. You don't need a bez nachel hatira to repeal the din, the Rabbanon. But whenever the din, the Rabbanon was made stoma, most of the din of the Rabbanon were made stoma. They had a reason, but they didn't incorporate the tam atakana into the nusach atakana. So whenever the tam atakana was not incorporated, so then we say, it's a loy plug Rabbanon. Just like on the level of the rice, if we say loy dashin in time of the Kro, it's a loy plug. So the Mishkan is Yankov explains the Rashi, says, the Chachamim have the right to make Takonis and Gzeris without incorporating the Tamak Zera. Yeah, that's only Kozman, that it's not Bakira's Dovim and Atur. But if you have, let's say the Chachamim say, you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelis. Okay? They don't have to say Gzeris Shema, you'll carry in the B'Shuzerah. It's obvious that's the reason for it, but they didn't have to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. But if they're going to tell you, you're not allowed to put tzitzis on a beggar shal pishta, what do you mean? The Torah says, I am a chayiv to put tzitzis. How can they formulate a din? That's Akira Dov Menatar, against what it says in the Chumash. So whenever the Chachamim instituted a din, the Rabbana, that's mamish b'akira, Dov Menatar, then it must be that they must have incorporated the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. And the Mele, if you live in a generation when the whole Tam HaGzera doesn't apply, then the whole Gzera doesn't apply. That's how the Mishkan Es Yankov wants to say. So he thinks that that's the beer in the rush. Why? Since Bizman HaZeh, nobody has any tcheles, so therefore the Hogzeira Beishamai doesn't apply, but why not treat it like a Dovah Sheminyan? So he says, no, the Chachamim made a Gzeira de Rabbanon, Akira's Dov Menatara. Menatara, if you wear a four-cornered garment that's made from linen, you mechuyif to put on tzitzis. The Rabbanon, they tell you, do not put tzitzis, we don't permit you to fulfill a mitzvah deraisa. How can they make such a din de Rabbanon? It's outright against the Pasuk and Chumash. So it must be Behechreyach, that when they made the Din Derabbanan, they formulated it with the Tam HaGzeira incorporated. They said, we don't permit you to put tzitzis at all in a Begum Shal Pishton, lest it'll lead to a kilkel, lest it'll turn out that you'll Gzeira Mishum Kla'ilon, you'll fall in, you'll buy imitation tcheles, and it'll turn out that you're wearing shat and shalom and makam mitzvah. So that's probably what the Beis Yosef meant also over here. Min HaTorah Yomachuyif Teduchin, even if you have mum in part of Yodav Averaglov. I mean, the Rabbanon, they made it there. We don't permit you to duchen. It's outright accused of Minator because of it. They had to say, we don't permit you to duchen because we're concerned that people will be staring at your hands. Because you have the moment, it'll draw attention. So if the minigam mokam is that they wear a talus over their hands, so then there's no chashash. See, the Beis Yosef, who lived in the 1500s, writes, that's the minig. The minig started during his lifetime to cover the hands. The Mishnah Brura lived in Poland. So he says that in Poland there was no such minig to cover the hands. The minig was that the Kohanim covered their faces and the hands were sticking out, were protruding out. The Kohanim covered their faces, said they won't look at their hands. You have a problem, so you figure out a solution. You put your talus over your head. The Kohanim were duchen with their hands exposed. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes, and in Lithuania, where they cover their hands, so then the problem is solved for the tzibur as well. It was different in Hagen, so it's interesting that already in the days of Esi Yosef, they had the minhag to cover the hands, not just like in Poland in the days of the Mishnah Berurah, they just had the minhag to cover the Kohanim's faces.
What about the
Gzeira of Shemi Shachik Samman?
Why would that
condition
not be
ultimately?
Wasn't that written in with the
Gzeira? Probably not. Refuah. Refuah is Gzeira mid the Rabbanon. They probably didn't say Shemi Shachik Samman. Every din the Rabbanon has to have a tam. So the Gemara tells you the tam is Gzeira Shemi Shachik Samman. But you see in the Gemara that the Bizmana Tanram, the Gzeira applied even in instances where there's nothing to grind up. The Gemara says you're not allowed to use a hot water bottle to put on your belly if you have a bellyache. What are you going to grind up? The water. There's nothing to grind up. The Gemara talks about straightening out the baby's legs. Sometimes when a baby's born, the legs are twisted. So the mothers, when they diaper the baby, straighten out the legs. The Gemara says that's an Issa Mishum Refu. All kinds of things where there's nothing to grind up. The Gemara still says, They made a gzera, asering refuah b'shabbos.
Isn't there a difference anyway between
the
shev
al-tasa?
Isn't there a difference between the two?
The what? Yeshkach b'yachacham, laka b'shev al-tasa. All of these, akiras, dominator, they're all b'shev al-tasa. They tell you not to put tzitzis in the beged shel pishtan, and not to duchen, and not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. These are all b'shev al-tasa.
They always need a tam for shev al-tasa.
Yeah, they have to incorporate the tam into the nusach hagzeira. Every din the rabbanon has to have a tam. They have no right to make a din the rabbanon has to have a good reason. But the question is, the Mishkan and Sankev race, the question is whether they incorporate the tam hagzeira into the nusach hagzeira or not. The nusach hagzeira is aloiplu. So he thinks that that's what the Rosh answered, that in Germany they were wearing tzitzis in a arba kampus of Pishton. So he thinks that that gzera, not beshamah gzera, not permitting one to put tzitzis in a beggar shal pishton, must have been instituted with the tam gzera incorporated into the nusach gzera. Because whenever the gzera is bakiras dov menator, you have to incorporate the tam. You have no right to make such a gzera if you don't include the tam. It's outright against the posuk and chumash.
Is that what the difference would be between this kind of gzera and what's the gzera shami shachik salmanin, where you're being okered over be a dime, so then the tam is irrelevant?
What do you mean? You work a dove be a dime?
Yeah, it's not sheva al tasa.
What the gzera is not to apply medication. It's also the sheva al tasa, not to apply. Like this, Einik Shabbos would require that you should apply medication to enjoy Shabbos. He has a headache. I mean, the rabbanon they said don't apply any medication.
So, l'fiyah mishkanas Yaakov, can we say that every mitzvah that we have a sheva al tasa the rabbanon, there's a tam incorporated in the gzera itself?
That's what he thinks. Whenever they made a gzera b'akiras mitzvah in HaTorah, they had to incorporate the tam gzera into the nusach gzera. Yeah, for example, there's a three line bir halacha where he has the kasha and he walks away. He doesn't have an answer. There is a machloikas whether in order to declare an area as a rishus rabim deraisa, do you need shishim ribo or not? Rashi and Tosfos are of the opinion that it's not considered rishus rabim deraisa unless they have shishim riba people. So that's what led the Rishonim and many Achronim to say they lived in villages and cities that weren't so gigantic. So they write the loshon ein lanu rishus rabim deraisa bizman hazeh, because they didn't have shishim riba. And other Rishonim disagree and they think you don't need shishim riba. So the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Erevin, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Omrim that if you don't have shishim riba, it's not called the Rishus Rabim Deraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah has a two, three line kash in the Bir Halacha. He doesn't give an answer. He says, according to them, why do we still not blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shacholiyus B'Shabbos? If there's no Rishus Rabim Deraisa, so we should forget about the Gzera Derabbanan. What kind of a funny kash is that? But the Tanoi made Gzera Derabbanan at a time that there were Rishus Rabim Deraisa. And even Bizman Azeh, so it's a Dovashem Eminyan. So Dovashem Eminyan, Tzach Min Yerachal Atira. Why does the Mishnah Berurah think that the Gzera should fall apart by itself? So he seems to be assuming like this, he just asks Akasha and he goes Vaita. He doesn't suggest any answer. So the Pashtus, he seems to be assuming that that since the Gzera was Bakiras Dov Min HaTorah, the Tanroi made a Gzera that we're not allowed to blow shofar, we're not allowed to fulfill a mitzvah in the Torah. Torah says on Rosh Hashanah you got to blow shofar. Then the Rabbanan they come and they say we don't permit you to blow shofar. So when you make such a Gzera, you have to incorporate the Tama Gzera into the Nusach Gzera. So since it was incorporated, so whatever the Tama Gzera doesn't apply. If you live in at a period that there are no Rishus Aram Deraisa around at all, so then the whole Gzera should fall apart by itself.
How is there any time that the Rabbanim can make a Gzera, if there needs to be 600,000 people passing through every day, there was never that in time to the Gemara, maybe even not today. It was only once upon a time in the Midbar that was ever that they had such a thing.
You mean you're asking a Gakasha on Rashi and Tosis? How can they say that it's only Rishus Aram Deraisa, Shishim Ribo? If in the Bai Sheni, they never had Shemiva. No, he has a different kasha. No, he says these Rishonim are entitled to their opinion that it's only Rishus Aram Deraisa if you have Shishim Ribo. But yes, why do we still observe the Gzera Derabbanan not to blow shofar and not to shake a lulav when Rosh Hashanah Sukkos falls out on Shabbos? A Gzera Shemi Avarena Dalaramas, but Bizman said that there's no Rishus Aram Deraisa, so that Gzera should fall apart by itself. You're asking a murderous kasha. What are they talking about? There never was a Rishus. They never had like that. And Ezra, it says, when they came back in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, the people were Mechal Shabbos, they were carrying in the streets. What do you mean carrying in the streets? It says what the population was. Nowhere near Shishim Rimo. So what kind of Rishus Aram Deraisa was it? So you're asking a kasha against those Rishonim. How can they say such a thing? The Mishnah Berurah doesn't ask that. He's asking a different kasha. He's asking, why doesn't the Gzera Derabba fall apart automatically, Bizman Hazeh? It's a little bit strange that he asked Akasha. You should simply answer, it's a Dovash of a Minyan, Tzach Minyan Achal Atir. So apparently he thinks, whenever the Gzera was Bakiris Dov Ben Atar, like over here, they tell us, don't fulfill the mitzvah that it says in the Torah, to shake a lulav, or to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah or on Sukkah. So they tell you, don't keep the mitzvah in the Torah. So they have to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. Otherwise, the Gzera is outright connected with what it says in the Torah. So whenever the Tam HaGzera is incorporated into the Nusach HaGzera, then it's not a loy plug. Then whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the whole Gzera doesn't apply. This is a Mishnah in Brachas that says that if the Chazan, who's davening for an Amid, the Shliach Tzibah, is a Kohen, he shouldn't duchen. He should not duchen. Mepnei hatiruf. Because in the days of the Tanoim, they used to daven Baal Peh, because the brachas and the Nusach HaTfilah was considered a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not allowed to write down. So the Gemara has a Masech Shabbos in Perek Kol Kisvei, the first daf in Perek Kol Kisvei, that Kosvei Tfilah is Kisorfei Torah. Whoever writes down the Nusach HaTfilah, Kosvei Brachas, Kosvei Tfilah, is Kisorfei Torah. You're not allowed to write it down because it's Torah Shebaal Peh. And if there'll be a Sreif on Shabbos, you won't be able to be matzal it. You're only allowed to be matzal Kisvei HaKodesh, and you're not allowed to be matzal the Sidurim. This is quotes from the Rif that Bizman Hazeh, that the Rabbanon they were makel, that you're allowed to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. So today we're matzal Mishnais and Gemara Sosa, and they were matzal later to write down the Siddur, write down the Machzor. So Mimele, you're allowed to be matzal the Sidurim and the Machzor and Bizman Hazeh also. Bizman HaTanoim, the Issa was still the talk for that. It was Osir to write down any of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So you weren't allowed to write down Brachas and Nusach HaTfilah. Nusach HaTfilah was considered a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Chazan is davening by heart. Then someone's gonna wash his hands. Then he's gonna turn around and duchen. Then he's gonna turn around again and continue davening Shemon Esrei. That's quite a feat. He should be able to do this all Baal Peh. So the Mishnah says we don't permit it b'mpnei hatiruf, or if he's gonna get all confused. And then it says in the Mishnah, even if he's the only one there, even if he's the only kohen in shul. And by our telling him that he shouldn't duchen, we're just going to do away, there won't be any duchening at all. Even if he's the only one, still don't duchen. Unless the Mishnah, the third line in the Mishnah says, if he knows his cheskosai, he knows for sure, he knows how to daven my heart. He's such an expert Baal Tefillah, he's not going to get confused, he won't get mixed up. So if it's haftochosai, shechozi le tefilosai, if he's positive that he's not going to make a mistake, then we do permit him to duchen. So the Tosfos Yontif on that Mishnah has a machlokes achronim on that third line in the Mishnah. The first line in the Mishnah said that the kohen who's the shliach tzibah is not allowed to duchen b'pnei atiruf. The second line says in the Mishnah, even if he's the only kohen, and by his not duchening, you simply got to miss out on duchening, he's not allowed to duchen. The third line says If Haftachos is Shechaz L'Tfilosa, he knows that he won't make a mistake, we allow him to. So does that only go on the second line if he's the only Kohen in the Shul? Or does it even go back on the first line? There are another 25 Kohanim. So we're not allowed to Duchen, but if he has a Machzer, he has a Siddur, he knows he's not going to make a mistake. He's going to say everything from the Siddur. Haftachos is Shechaz L'Tfilosa, so then he's allowed to Duchen. So most of the Achreinim say L'Chumra. Most of the Achreinim say we only permit the Kohen to serve as the Shliach Tzibur. If he's davening from a siddur, from a machzer, he knows that he's not going to make a mistake. We only permit it if he's the only one and only kohen, and if he don't let him duchen, he's simply going to miss out on duchen. But if there are another 20 kohanim in a shul, he should not duchen. So that was the accepted opinion for many years. Now that they duchen every day in Eretz Yisrael, and people daven for an omer, they have yartzeit, the person is in avelus. So you have, the Shaila comes up every day. It doesn't just come up on Sholosh HaGolim and the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It comes up every day because they duchen every day. So the common practice in Eretz Yisrael is that they have many Kohanim. In any given minyan, they have more than one Kohen. And the Chazan who has a Yartzeit, or the Chazan who is in Avelus, Davens Farnomet, and then he duchens together with everybody else. So today the common practice in Eretz Yisrael clearly is that, like the other opinion, that Haftachosai, he made duchen is even if they're other kohanim. So we in the yeshiva had for many years the bal tefila for Musa for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur always used to be a kohen. Every year they got for 10 years they had one kohen, 10 years another kohen, 10 years another kohen. They always had a kohen. So in here the minhag always was that the kohen does duchen. Rabbi Lipschitz always used to say they shouldn't duchen and they didn't listen. They followed because they all learned in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody learned in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they saw it every day. Ma'aseh Mechol Yom, that the Kohanim duchen, even though they were other Kohanim. The din is that when you duchen, Amor Lahem, so the Gemara says that you have to duchen b'kol rom. How loud do the Kohanim have to scream the words of the duchening? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Nachranim. They have to say it loud enough that everybody in the back of the shul should hear. So sometimes Kohanim duchen and they whisper. They whisper so softly that a lot of people can't hear. And sometimes the Kohanim scream on the top of their lungs, and it's a tiny little minion. What are they screaming for? Everybody hears them without their screaming. They have to say the psukim, Yirach Hashem Yishmach, they should say it so loud that the people in the back of the shul should be able to hear. And the days of the Gemara says in Saita, in Perikel and Namorim, towards the end of Saita, they used to have a practice. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they had a practice. In the days of the Gemara, they had a practice when the Kohan would be reciting the Nesias Kapayim, Yivrech Hashem Yishmarecha, the Tzibub would recite Psukim. They would have a separate Pasuk. When the Kohan would say this word, they would say this Pasuk. Kohan would say the next word, they would say another Pasuk. Then the Gemara raises an issue. Is that the Recheretz? The Kohanim are giving you a bracha, you're not paying attention. You're reciting, you're babbling away Psukim. Isn't it more the Recheretz? You should pay attention, listen to the bracha. So the Gemara says, it's not a stira. You can pay attention and you can say the psukim at the same time. B'haraya, we do it all the time by Moedim D'Rabbanan, that the Chazan says the Chazar Salshas out loud. And everyone's supposed to pay attention to every word that the Chazan says. And nonetheless, the Tzibur says Moedim D'Rabbanan simultaneously with the Chazan saying the Moedim and the Shemoneh Esrei. So you see that we're all geniuses. The Jews are bigger geniuses than everybody else. We're smarter than everybody else, and we can pay attention to what the Chazan is saying and say Moedim D'Rabbanan at the same time. So you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Tur writes, we used to be geniuses. Now we're not as smart as we used to be. You can't pay attention. Very hard to pay attention to what the Kohanim are saying, Yirach Hashem Yishmarecha, while you're saying the Psukim. So the Tur recommends in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote, they recommend you shouldn't really say this psukim anymore, even though this is an age-old minig, Bizman HaMikdosh. The Gemara is a record. They used to recite psukim Bizman HaMikdosh when they were duchim. Bizman HaGemara, and the Gemara quotes various psukim that they said. So the Torah says that Bizman HaZeh, you should just look at the psukim in the Siddur, if you want to. But you shouldn't say them, because you're going to say them, it's going to be very difficult. You're the Chul Shel Olam, people are not the geniuses that they used to be, so you really shouldn't say the psukim at all. You should pay attention to the Kohanim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Chazon Ish pointed out. Chazon Ish used to daven for an omer once a year when he had yartzeit. He didn't daven all year long. So he said the same as Rav Soloveitchik. Just like by duchening, the Torah says, you can't say the psukim while the Kohanim are saying the the Yirecha Hashem Yishmecha, because it's too hard to concentrate on both. So the same is by Moedim Derabbanon. We don't have such geniuses. The Gemara put the two together on the same daf. We don't have such geniuses that they'll be able to pay attention to what the Chazan is saying, the Moedim and the Shmoneh Esrei, and recite Moedim Derabbanon at the same time. So you have to figure out how to do it. The Tzibur has to say Moedim Anachnu Loch, when the Chazan says Moedim Anachnu Loch. And then the Chazan should pause a little bit, give the Tzibur a chance to say. Because if we're going to say, we're going to be shouting Moedim Derabbanon at the same time that he's trying to say Moedim, and the Shmoneh Esrei is simply not going to hear. You got to figure out some kind of an Eitzen.
Spoken by a Khan, wouldn't you be able to say
it
while the Chazan is reciting it?
Yeah. While the Chazan is saying, you don't have to pay attention. Yeah.
The Fidim, like you said earlier about the Mishnah, whether the last statement of the Mishnah goes on the first day, like with the Kohen or not, the Fidim is Genetz Yaakov, that any Gzera that Chazal made has to have a reason in it. If it prevents someone from a mitzvah, then the Kohen, who is Chazan, wants to do a mitzvah of Aliyah Duchan. So if they wanted him, they said Shemit Tar Dasa, it had to be incorporated in the mitzvah. So if so, it has to go on the first day of the mitzvah.
Stop Machrenim hold not so. They hold that they were only Mekel if he's the only coin, only if the whole Duchen is going to be missing. Yeah. Bashib Shat is, like you said, that the common practice is like that. Yeah. In many shuls, they have a practice when the Chazan says, Alakenu Kavasan, Vachenu Barbrachim, Shalas Batoira, Hamur Piyar Navona Kohanim, and everybody screams at Amkada Shecha Kamur. It absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. What are you screaming at Amkada Shecha Kamur? The Chazan says that. But the Tzibah screams that makes no sense at all. So he took himself blue, and the Balabatim don't listen. They continue to do what they want to do. That's not right. They shouldn't say things that don't make any sense. Yeah.
Why is it Dafka to be the Chazan who's saying it? Why is Dafka to be the Chazan who's saying it?
That piyut, that Elkei was saying, Bachein Barbrochem. Because the Chazan is going to be the Makar, he's going to say Yivarechecho, and Tosis says it's a hepsik. What is he saying, Yivarechecho? So it has to blend in. The Chazan's reciting Yivarechecho has to blend in with the rest of his Shmoneh Esrei. So he has to say Elokeinu Kehavaseinu, Vachena Babrocha. He has to say. So he should say the last line also. It doesn't make sense at the Tzibur. It's not a sentence. Am Kadoshecha Kamor. When the Chazan says the whole paragraph, so everything makes sense. Okay, when you say the whole paragraph, it fits in. But just to say that phrase, those three words, don't make any sense at all. The reason why we call it duchening is because a duchen means an elevated platform. And l'chatchila, the proper thing is that the Kohanim should stand on top of an elevated platform. That's why in front of the Aron Kodesh, there's supposed to be a little step. So the Kohanim should have a location, a platform to stand on. Some of the Sfaradish Achrenim hold that this is Li'ikuvah, that if you don't have a platform, an elevated platform, you can't duchen. They're on the Ashkenazi poskim, don't hold like that. So if there's only enough room for a few Kohanim on the platform, so first you let the Sfaradim go up, because some of the Sfaradim holds Li'ikuvah. And then if there's more room left, so you let the Ashkenazim also walk up. Remember many years ago, the second time I visited Eretz Yisrael, so we davened on Shabbos and Kol Torah, Yeshiva's Kol Torah. So that's what they did. They had many more Kohanim who could fit on the platform. So all the Sfaradim walked up. And then there was a little more room, so a couple of Ashkenazim walked up also. Because the platform is by Ashkenazim, Lechatchili should have it, but none of the Poskim, and by the Ashkenazim hold it's Likuvah. And by the Sfaradim, there are those, some hold that it is Likuvah. Why not say Shemeh Ka'oina that what? I mean the Chazan. The Kohen shouldn't say Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha at all. Uh-huh. Yeah. Rabbi Tzalo Vilna writes that when he visited Trieste, they had such a similar meaning that they were mechabed him. He was a Kohen. So the Mechabedim, he should say, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha. So he didn't know what they meant. They duchen every day there. It wasn't Yontev. So when he got up, he understood what was going on. They only had one kohen say, Yirech Hashem Yishmerech, and all the other kohenim v'yotzev v'shemeh kohenim. So he, first he was wondering where they get this from, and then he thought that it's probably pshat in the Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah talks about the kohen saying the duchening. What do I mean, the kohen? Well, the kohenim have to say the duchening. So he thought that that's the pshat. They picked out one kohen, and he was mitzvah the others. Strictly speaking, maybe you're right, that even the Yisrael may also, the chazan can also say Yirech Hashem Yishmerech. The kohen will be yotzev v'shemeh kohenim. So the Beis Halevi was Masagan, he said, no, that you need Kol Rom. So there's a lack of Kol Rom over here. It's not even Balachash. If one Kohen is going to duch and the others are just going to hold their hands and not going to say anything, so the Beis Halevi thought that that's a lack of Kol Rom. And the Netziv has a tshuva where he doesn't think that that's correct. He thinks if the one who's saying, Yirech Hashem Yishmerech, is saying it out loud, so the Kol Rom carries over to the listeners as well. So all the Kohanim are considered as if they said it with Kol Rom. Yeah, so that was a dispute between the two Rashi Yeshiva and Valojin. The Beis Halevi held that because of the requirement for Kol Rom, you can't allow Shemeh Kohen. And the Netziv thought that it does not pose a problem.
Wouldn't you be missing in one land? If Israel would be doing the Shemeh Kohen, wouldn't you be missing in one land?
Could be.
Also, how can Israel be mostly the Kohanim if Israel is not a Baruch Yehuda?
Could be. It's a good taina. There is a question in Rishonim. There's a mitzvah in the Kohanim to duchen. Is there a mitzvah in the Israelim to try to receive a bracha or not? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Charedim. He was one of the late, he was not a Charedi. Sefer Charedim was one of the late Rishonim Valacham in the 1500s. So he writes a chiddush that just like there's a mitzvah in the Kohanim to duchen, there's a mitzvah on the Israelim to try to receive a bracha. Let's say I daven in a shul, I know there are no kohanim. So I should try to daven in a different shul. I should, after davening, I should walk over to the other shul to try to hear the duchening over there. So it's a good point what you're saying. Maybe if you hold like the Haredi, maybe it is called Mukhiyib Adova. He's Mukhiyib to try to hear the bracha. Maybe it's not. It's a good point. A prime Alojiner quotes from the Vilna Goyen that it's not proper to be Mishanim in Maber Shetavach Chachamim Bebrochus. Whatever the Nusach HaBroch is supposed to be, we should say the way the Chachamim were Mesach. So the concluding Brocha of the Shemoneh Esrei, our practice is that we say HaMavorach Es HaMisol BaShalom. Other communities say all year long Oseh HaShalom. So somehow they made a compromise, Nusach Sfarad made a compromise. So, and Aseret Yemei Teshuva, they change. Instead of Hamrechas Hamisal Bashalom, they say Oseh HaShalom. So this is, so the Vilna Gaon was very upset about that. He thought that that's not our Nusach all year long. We don't say Oseh HaShalom all year long. And the Gemara doesn't say that you should change the Nusach of the Brach. The Gemara says, Melech Eiv Tzedok HaMishpot, we change HaMelech HaMishpot and HaMelech HaKodesh instead of HaKel HaKodesh. The Gemara never says that you say, you change the Nusach Oseh HaShalom. So the Vilna Gaon was very makbid about that. Rav Soloveitchik thought that even b'di eved yirad yoytzei. Even if a person says Oseh Shalom, he has to say over the bracha. And bracha sam yisol b'shalom. It's a different meaning. It's a different bracha.
How can you say that yirad yoytzei b'di eved if that's what capable of something?
Right. We usually assume that whenever there are two nuschoes, and we adopt one nusach, so you can't say that b'di eved yirad yoytzei if you say the other nusach. There are kehillas where they say like that. Yeah, that's a strong tone.
Is there a problem by essential say Melanzer Israel and Goalba and Amara also?
Right. The Vilna Gaon was opposed to that too. He said that the Gemara never said you should change the Nusach HaBracha. You should say Goal Yisrael. You shouldn't say Tzu Yisrael Goalo. Right. Same thing on Yomim when Yeduchin. So the meaning in many places is that the Chazan changes the Nusach HaBracha instead of Shoschalabat Chabir Anavad was a Nusach HaBracha that existed in the Beis HaMikdosh. That is the Nusach that they said. But we're not in the Beis HaMikdosh, and it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that you should change the Nusach when you're duchen. When you're duchening, you're reminiscing about the way things used to be in the days of the Beis HaMikdosh, but still. So Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Vilna Gaon felt that that's not right. You should recite the normal Nusach. HaMachzer Shechinosa Letzion. The Mogen Avraham quotes that the Arizal instituted a minig that after Yishtabach, before the Chasen says Kaddish and Aseres Meitshuva, the whole Tziba should recite Shira Malas. And the Magen Avraham is not happy about it. He says you're not supposed to be mafsik in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror. There's supposed to be a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that the Rishonim quote. In the new editions of the Torah, they write, we don't have this in our Yerushalmi anywhere. So we don't know exactly what the Rishonim are referring to, but they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi that there's a machlekes hatanoim. If a soldier violates an Issa deraisa, you don't accept him in the army. What if he only violates Isurim derabbanan? Do you accept him in the army or not? So that's a machlekes hatanoim. And Perak Mashuch Mochama, in the end of Masecha Soto. So the Gemara gives an example. What's an example of one who violates an Issa deraisa? So the Bavli gives an example. One who talks between Tfilin Shal Yad and Tfilin Shal Rosh. He's Gorim Bracha Shein Etzricha. And the Rishonim quote from the Yerushalmi, that we don't know where it is, Asoch Ben Yishtabach Liyotzeror. Someone who talks in between Yishtabach, in between Psuka de Zimra and Bichos Kriyashma. Not allowed to talk there. So that's what the Magen Avraham is upset. How could the Arizal introduce Shira Malos? It's a hefsek. So the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch point out, the Dogma Vava points out, why is it a hefsek? The Rambam writes that there were communities where they recited Oz Yashir in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror. They didn't include Oz Yashir in the Psuk of the Zimra, because in the Baruch Shamar, we say, V'shiri David Abdecha Nehalach on Shabbechacha. We're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reciting Prokem from Tehillim. V'shiri David Abdecha is Tehillim, and Oz Yashir is from Chumash. So the Rambam had the Yesh Mekomis that they say Oz Yashir after Yishtabach. But you see that you're allowed to say, after Yishtabach, you're allowed to say, all the Shiris v'Sishbachas. The meaning was, you don't see Oz Yashir in the middle of Psukkot HaZimra, you say it after. So what's so bad about saying Shir HaMalas? Imamakim. So others point out, in the Sefer Emek Bracha, by Talmud of Rav Dovid Lasolovitch, he points out, yeah, that would be nice if you would say, there are so many different Prokem of Tilim where we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shiris v'Sishbachas. Shir HaMalas Mimamakim is not a Shevach, it's a Tchina. It's a plea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care of us. So that's not a continuation of Psuka de Zimra. Sure, Oz Yashir is, but Shir HaMalas Mamakim is a Tchina, so that doesn't belong there.
So according to that, Kaddish would be permitted because it's a praise?
No, Kaddish is supposed to be recited in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror because we just finished a unit of davening. So we want to say Chatzi Kaddish to show a mafzik, because the Psuka de Zimra is really optional. It was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as an optional thing. And the real Tefillah B'Tzibur begins when you say Baruch Hu after that Kaddish. Not everybody said Psuka de Zimra. One of the Tanaim, the end of Shabbos, says, I hope I'll always be able to recite Psuka de Zimra. So apparently the common practice was not everybody said it. It was Amidus Chasidus that he said it. It was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as an optional thing. So now, all the shuls, everybody picks up everybody else's minics, and many shuls, but they really daven otherwise, Nusach Ashkenaz, they all say Shir HaMalas. It's not really right. Shir HaMalas is Nusach Svart. That's minic Svart. It's not minic Ashkenaz.
Yishev Kisat Elyon is not similar to Shir HaMalas
and Mamak? I don't think so. I think it's also a Shevach.
Even the first two-thirds?
No. A part of Hoidu is also a Bakosha. Yeah. Parts of Halal are also Bakosha, but the main aspect is Shevach or Hidoya. Yeah.
If the shul sang it, should one not say it?
I don't say Shir HaMalas simply because they always daven so fast in all the shuls where I go. They daven so quickly, so I still have to say Psuka de Zimra. I didn't finish Psukkah. I start 5 minutes before everybody else, and I still don't finish all the Psukkah de Zimra. So this, say the Psukkah de Zimra slower. You should really abridge Psukkah de Zimra, so make sure that you finish in time with the Chazan. And then if you see that there's time, because he's going to say Shir HaMalas, so say what you left out from the Psukkah de Zimra. Say Oz Yashir, say the other Halukos. Say whatever you left out from the Psukkah de Zimra. There is a machlokes in the Rishonim regarding the 10th pasuk of Zechrenis and Shofes. The 10th pasuk of Malchus is recited immediately after the first 9 psukim. And the 10th pasuk of Zechrenis and Shofes is not recited right after, it's rather recited in the concluding paragraph. On Leil Shabbos, by the Tish, I was explaining why from Rav Soloveitchik. He explained that each one of the three brachas, machzor and shofars, the framework of the outline of the brachas is as follows. We formulate in the opening paragraph the Iker and Amuna of Malchus, and Zechronis and Shofers. These are the, we mentioned just to review Bikitza, that the Rambam writes that there are 13 Ikori HaAmuna. Rabbi Yosef Alba writes that there are three. Basically, all the 13 of the Rambam boiled down to three. So one is Metzius Hashem, the existence of God, and only one God, and Shoin, monotheism, and then Torah Min HaShemayim, and Schar V'Yonesh. Basically, these are the three Ikori HaAmuna, and all the others fall under these categories. So basically, on Rosh Hashanah was the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon all the mitzvahs and all the Ikori HaAmuna. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem, Chibi Yisev Nadaslo Shenivir B'Tzelem. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah on Pirkei Avos, what does that mean? Chibi Yisev Nadaslo Shenivir B'Tzelem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu notified Adam HaRishon that he created him B'Tzelem. He could have created him B'Tzelem and not told him. It would have been a deep, dark secret. Adam HaRishon would never know. Kadosh Baruch Hu notified. When did he notify? The same day he was created. The same Friday, the first day. Zayam Tchilas Masecha, Rosh Hashanah, Echad B'Tishrei. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam. He commanded him, and he told him the same day. All Ikori HaAmuna. He told him that he was created B'Tzelem Elokim, and so on and so forth. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Chazal learned that from the Psukim. Some hold that it's an Asmachta. The Ramban holds an Asmachta. And Rashi seemed told that it's a real din d'oraisa, that on Rosh Hashanah we have a chayva to mention the Ikori HaAmuna, to offer prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in connection with these Ikori HaAmuna. So we emphasize the three of Rabbi Yosef Albo. Malchus is Metzius Hashem, and Zechronis is Schar V'Yonesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgacha Pratis. He knows everything that's happening, and he cares. And he gives Schar V'Yonesh. He rewards the tzaddikim and he punishes the rishoyim. And in Shofaris, we quote all the psukim. Shofaris, we always blow shofar when there's a gilui shechina. So we believe that it is possible, and it did happen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to man, gilui shechina, and then nevuah. Included in this, that there is communication between God and man, included in this ikar is the ikar of tefillah. That we can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can daven, just like he can talk to us, that's called nevuah, so we can speak to him, that's called tefillah, bakosha, and so on. So the Shmoneh Esrei, the Rambam, just to review Bekitza, the Rambam is of the opinion that there's a chiv tefillah once a day, every day, that's the rice. So the fact that tefillah is drabbanon, the Gemara says all the time tefillah is drabbanon, that means the nilcha tefillah, and the fact that you daven three times a day. So the Rambam holds that the daven once a day, every day, is a chiyuv deraisa, but the nusach is the rabban. But the Rambam quotes from another Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the first parak, that a little bit the framework of the tefillah is deraisa. You have to start off with shevach and conclude with hoidoya, and the middle should be bakosha. So the essence of the tefillah is really the middle part, the bakosha. The beginning and the end, the introduction and the conclusion, that's derech eretz dictates. You have to start with shevach and end off with bakosha, with hoidoya, moedim anachnu loch. But the essence of the tefillah is the middle. So Moshe Feinstein asks, so on Shabbos and Yonder, when you leave out all the brachas and tzoyah, so you're not yotzei the chayvas tefillah, you didn't have any bakosha tzorach, just shevach, and you have hoidoya, and you don't have any bakosha. But Moshe said, no, if you look at the concluding paragraph in the middle of bracha, it's always bakosha. Lokeinu galseinu, ritzei b'minu chaseinu, kadashenu b'mitzvasecha, b'sein chankeinu b'sarasecha, it's a bakosha of ruchni yizdika tzorachim. As opposed to Gashmi is Digat Tzorach, Ruchni is Digat Tzorach. So the same is true of Malchus Chayin Shofar, is the concluding paragraph, it's the Brachas HaMtzoyis of the Shmoneh Esrei. You have to have Bakosh and Tzorachim. So the Tzorachim of the Rabbanu Shalom, you say, Lokein Kav Seinu, Velocho Kolo and Kula Bechwedecho, or Zachainim is the current of Lefanecho, Tka B'Shefer Gar Lechei Reseinu, the concluding paragraph is the Bakosh and Tzorachim. But till we get to the concluding paragraph, so we have the build-up. So there are three parts to each one of these three Brachas. So the first part, we formulate a statement of the principle of faith. We believe in Malchus, and we believe in Zechronis, and we believe in Shofars. And then to demonstrate that this is so, what do you mean we believe? Where do you get this Amunah from? So, Dovah Zakos Batorah V'Shanim Avim Sholosh Baksuvim. That's how the Gemara wants to prove something, so they prove from Tanakh. So, if you only quote one Pasuk, one Tanakh holds, that's enough. One Pasuk from Torah, one Pasuk from Avim, one Pasuk from Ksuvim. We hold L'chatchili, should say, 10 psukim. So what's a 10 psukim all about? So three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, and three from Nevim. So we proved the point conclusively. In case one of the psukim was taken out of context, so we misread it. So we say three from Torah, three from Nevim, three from Ksuvim. So you have nine psukim. We understand why do you need the tenth pasuk. So the Gemara seems to say the tenth pasuk has nothing to do with the ninth psukim. The tenth pasuk is to enhance the bakosh at the end. We say l'kein l'seinu, kabishay for God l'chevisenu, and fulfill the promise that you gave us in the Torah. Whatever. So that's why the concluding pasuk doesn't belong at the end of the ninth psukim. It belongs in the concluding paragraph of the bracha when we say the bakosha. Malchias, we don't put the tenth pasuk into the last paragraph. So that's what the Mefarshim on the Siddur say. I think they quote from the Levush that he said the bracha really, we combine two different brachas over here. We combine the bracha of Kedushas Hayom with the bracha of Malchias. So since the theme of Malchias is really a guest over here, basically on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the fourth bracha, the bracha Revis, is always the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So it's not right that the Malchias should take over and insert a pasuk in the concluding paragraph. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't have any pasuk in the concluding paragraph. You don't have a pasuk. So that's why in Malchias, since the theme of Malchias is a guest in the bracha of the Kedushas Hayom, so we don't put the pasuk in the concluding paragraph. We say the tenth pasuk after the ninth pasuk. So some Rishonim say that the same is true regarding Zechonis and Shofas also. You should really say the tenth pasuk after you say all the ninth pasuk. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. He used to have his Baal Tefillah do like that. He would say the tenth pasuk for Zechonis twice. He would say it after the ninth psukim and then say it again in the concluding paragraph. Then the tenth pasuk for Shofar is also like that. And the tenth pasuk from Shofar, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh that it's a machlokes, is whether that pasuk that's printed in the machzor is acceptable because it doesn't say Shofar, it says Chatzotzes, Skaitam Yamsim Chas Madechim Rosh Chatzechem, Skaitam Chatzotzes Salah Lasechem, Vaziv Chashamechem, doesn't talk about Shofar, talks about Chatzotzes. So the Mechaber writes, there are those who showed him to say that it's not right, that you're not yotze with that pasuk. The rush was miyashiv, and it's okay. So Rav Soloveitchik said, okay, the rush was miyashiv, so we say the pasuk in the middle of the paragraph at the end. But you may as well say another pasuk, that's l'choladeh is good. If you're adding on a tenth pasuk at the end of the ninth psukim to satisfy the other opinion in the Rishonim, that not only on Malchis, but on Zechonis Shofar also, you should say the tenth pasuk right after the ninth, so you may as well say the other pasuk. The Gemara says, the truas melech bo. We say that pasuk for Malchias, so he can say it also for trua, for Shofar. So that was what his suggestion was. In Aleinu is, so all year long, we don't say the line the way it was originally composed. It was left out by the sense of, Hei Mishtachin Lahel Orik. On Rosh Hashanah, it's part of the Shemana Esrei. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, even those who don't say all year long, and Rosh Hashanah, see, all year long, Aleinu is only a minik to say after the davening. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's part of the takana. So he thought everyone should say the nusach. Shem Mishtachim Lehevel Barik. That seems to be the original nusach. He used to be makben on Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tefillah should say instead of Moshe Vikara Bashamayim Imal, other Rishonim hold, you don't say Moshe Vikara. It sounds like it's too Megushim Dik. So somehow Kisei Kvodo is better. Even though Kisei is also a human being sits on a chair. So he used to insist, at least on Rosh Hashanah, you should say the Nusach Agro, the Nusach that the Torah quotes, Moshe Vikara Bashamayim Yimal. Okay, you got to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, you got to look at a machzer. Prepare yourself with the Nusach HaTfilah. Tomorrow I won't be able to give a shiur. I'm going to be attending a bris by my grandson, so I wish everybody now, Aksimu Aksimu Toivo. Whoever can daven in yeshiva, we recommend you should come daven. It's going to be a beautiful davening. Okay? Mincha is 2:33 downstairs. I'm going to go to the next one.